Welcome to Front Range Facts. This is Anthony Meisner.
And this is Jim Arion.
We're here to give you your national update for the month of November.
Yeah, we wanted to continue to show what recovery looks like. And we've been showing this slide for the last few months since, it looks like we're certainly on the path to recovery with the home prices now starting to see gains for about, half a year. So we are certainly in that by all measures, by all three of these organizations.
It's great, isn't it? So if you look at Case-Shiller home price movement, you can really see city by city kind of what's going on. And definitely not all cities are created equal from what we can tell here, but it looks like about half of them are up 1% over the last month.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, the end of the summer activity, the shift from July into August and what those numbers look like. And what I kind of found interesting about this was just how similar, everything is.
Well, there's no negatives in here either. Well, you'd expect some.
You got a couple like almost flat lines, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas there's zero negatives. That recovery that we were showing before seems to be in effect essentially in every major metro area. And what we're seeing is very moderate type of movement no matter where you're at, which is also surprising because, even like Miami, which has been kind of more red hot, is seems to be moderating as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now look at this monthly mortgage payments.
Ouch.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to the new
when
world.
When money was cheap, mortgage payments were obviously affordable, but it has gotten real big.
Yes. What we're looking at, folks, is basically, 2.5 years in the future, with the red line, doubling your mortgage payments on an average mortgage. You've literally gone from an average of a little over $1,000 a month to now a little over $2,200 a month in mortgage payments just for the typical average house across the United States. And certainly has been playing a role, right, in moderating this market.
Yeah, I really think it's going to drive up, those rates for rentals. It's going to drive up a lot. It's just going to slow down the whole process, right? Less buyers out there because people are going to be hamstrung by this. So, yeah. I mean, really, we'll keep tabs on this for you for sure. And this is only through August, but it probably will get a little worse in the data before it gets better because until interest rates start coming down, we're going to be kind of in this environment.
Yeah. At least it doesn't look like they're staying higher anymore.
Exactly.
I don't know. So this was interesting. What I wanted to kind of show here was, historically we look at what mortgage rates are. We're going to look at this a little bit in the next slide as well. But this one is really interesting because essentially from the time I was born until the time I was about 20 years old in 1993, essentially had higher interest rates than anything we're seeing like now. Okay. So,
I mean, that really says something.
You're right. I mean, that's kind of what I think is a takeaway here. It's not just about me and my perspective, but the fact is literally I've gone, 20 years of my life, first 20 years of my life at a higher interest rate environment than what we've been seeing for the, last 30 years.
I went
of
through
my
only
life,
about
so.
Five of these years.
Yes.
10
yeah.
of these years. But I think the big thing here is think about the millennials' perspective on this. The millennial perspective, even when they remember as a kid in the early 2000s, interest rates were lower than they are today. So actually your purchase power was better. So it's really that generational gap in their thinking, right? Your first time home buyers are out there and they've never seen interest rates like this. Or at least from the time that they were able to understand it. So your perspective on it, very different, right?
And I think, too, just another thing to share, that I've talked about recently is just the fact that, I bought in like 2000 property and, it was my first purchase and I didn't even bat an eye at the interest rates being over 8% at the time. I thought that was what it was. It's the price of admission. And
It was,
no regrets on it. I still, made money and did well. And that's what everyone's going to do even today if they buy it.
It's just we're due for a readjustment from our perspective again. And you can definitely see that there. About this one.
And then, I thought this was just, same way of showing it in a different, manner, basically look at the fact that in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the rates were all higher, right, on average. And then you finally get down to the 2000s, 2010s, and you got a lower interest rate environment. So it's only a more recent outgrowth of things. And we're certainly kind of seeing more moderation of that interest rate occur now.
All right. So affordability, this is really the issue right now.
Yeah. But, again, looking at it historically from 1981, that's when this thing starts, you had almost 40% of your income going towards that. And that was, keep in mind, that was back when it was the famous 13 to 18% interest rates, depending on your credit.
Look at that 20% line. It was 20% for a very long time.
It was. Yes.
So now that we're above that, I think that's creating some of these affordability issues. Mm-hmm. But as interest rates continue to slow down just a little bit, right, we definitely have seen the peak, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And as these kind of trickle back closer to that 20%, you're going to see a lot more buyers into that marketplace.
And, it's that price jump that we all saw during the COVID kind of era.
Yeah.
And now coupled that with the high interest rates, bumping it to the 29%, but certainly it should back off a bit from here on out.
Absolutely. Now, are we really going to get back to the 15% or the 12% number? Probably not. Probably. Ever.
Well, don't say ever.
It's possible. All right. What about planning to buy a home in the next 12 months?
You know, and this is for realtors out there, this is our target market. Go for it, guys.
Sure.
So, you know, 17% of people are looking at a purchase in the next 12 months. Whether there's enough inventory to accommodate them is a big question on that. Whether they have the motivation, given the fact that once they get kind of that, you know, price quote from a lender, you know,
is it might gonna, change things.
You
for
know,
sure.
But you know, but at least on theoretical level, 17% of people are considering buying a home. So,
I mean, it's not a bad number. These are pretty decent good numbers.
And given the fact that there is a lot of pent up demand just because people have been slowing down on that purchase thing, it certainly is possible.
What about this baby bust among buyers?
Well, I just thought this was an interesting thing because it's kind of a common thing. A lot of agents are seeing anecdotally where we're just not seeing as much, you know, families moving up with teenagers in tow. And what's really reflective of this is just looking at 1985, you know, 58% of home buyers had children under the age of 18 in their homes, and now it's dropped down to 30%. So not even one out of three homes have children under 18 in the home.
That's
and so
bizarre.
It's causing just, you know, various changes in the way that buyers are looking at properties.
Well, just the needs of buyers,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
this is a big difference.
Yeah, and, you know, it does make you think maybe some of these large homes, you know, if there's a neighborhood that's got an excess of them, may see some price, you know, pressure to reduce those prices because it's not necessarily what as many people are looking for these days.
Absolutely. And then this existing or inventory of existing homes, you know, we've talked about this a lot because our big theory here is just how far underbuilt we are. And if you look back to, you know, those early 2000s, mid 2000s, we're building at a very different rate than we are now. And you can see it's very seasonal. This is mostly, you know, resale inventory compared to maybe where we were before, where it was less of that. And now we're a fourth of where we were at the peak of the inventory.
Price. Yeah, this is our 5-year thesis, Anthony. I mean, we're
really
here
is.
Basically on 5 years of doing the show, and we've got a long-running thesis here, which is basically there is long-term serious structural issues with the inventory levels in this country and a massive amount of underbuilt homes that are going to, you know, yield basically a real big demand push coming up in the next few years. And, you know, the fact is we're lower than even, okay, so 2000, we had maybe like 270 million people in the country. Now we're at about 340 million. So we've added, you know, 70-ish million people, and yet our inventory is half of what it was.
It's
so I don't think we're, you know, academically idiots when it comes to our theory here.
No, I don't think so either. And what this really just points to is just that upward pressure in the cost of housing in America, right? It's just going to continue to get worse until we build more housing. We're just not willing to do it.
No.
And the other part of this is housing may not even be in the right areas, right? Because people are living in different places than they were even a decade ago.
Yeah.
All right. What about this one?
Yeah. A couple of these I just wanted to highlight is, you know, you've got homeowners in the blue, you got green, but line is the renters, and this is their net worth basically. And what's interesting, I thought about this was the difference from, you know, the average wealth disparity between a homeowner and a renter in 2010, $181,600 more that person had in wealth. And, you know, so a renter had, you know, $5,400 saved up and a homeowner was worth $187,000. That jumped now to close to $400,000 for homeowners, and, you know, doubled only for renters at, you know, $10,400. So if you flip to the next slide, then you'll see that kind of represented in a much more dramatic way. And hats off to the National Association of Realtors for really, you know, being very subdued with their graphics, considering all their costs they have legally now. I'm glad to see that they don't really try to, you know, expend many money on these things. But, you know, huge difference in price between the two. again, you know, another way of looking at this, Anthony, right, is just simply this inventory is massively low. And, you know, just, you know, before we looked at, you know, kind of a larger picture of 20 some years, but here we're just looking at the last three normal years before COVID hit.
Right.
And then,
I mean, they were the normal years, right?
Yeah.
We got rid of the unicorn years, which, you know, we talk about quite frequently, but this is pretty insane to see that we chewed up everything that was available. And now we really truly are operating at less than half of where we were before. And it's no wonder it feels the way it does, right?
Yeah,
it's no wonder we're still seeing price appreciation.
And what's going to happen? I mean, this is what everybody who's a home, thinking about home buying, you know, the 17% thinking of home buying, what is going to happen when there's, you know, a lower interest rate that makes everybody want to jump in.
Right.
And you've got, you know, inventory levels that are that low. It's going to be rough.
It is going to be rough.
So, you know, just let's catch up on what this year has kind of been doing. So a couple things to throw out here. We are still under, you know, as of the end of September, we're slightly under 4 million homes for sale. we've been talking about like about anywhere from about a 4 million to 4.3 million total sales this year. We're on track for that still. It looks like median home price, 394, right? I think we just passed a new high watermark nationally for median home price. I think it was 389 or so before then. Housing starts is interesting though, Anthony, because, you know, we've been looking at, right, like, you know, this as a long-term supply glut. And they say, like, if you build 1.5 million homes a year for 13 years, we'll basically catch up. And we barely ever touched that. But here we had housing starts get up to
1.3 amount of housing starts.
It is. And it takes 9 months to, you know, 2 years essentially to build these homes. So it's not like this is all just going to pop in the market overnight or anything like that. But
it does show that, you know, with all that demand coming, this is at least...
It shows that the builders changed their mind about the outlook for their market somewhere this year because they boosted up that
stock. I mean, you can really feel it around here even too. I mean, people didn't just stop building. Yeah. They might be doing all these creative things to continue to build, mm-hmm, but it doesn't seem like people just like turn the switch off like they did in 08.
Yeah.
So that's a really good sign, I think. Yeah. All right, we got a couple more things that we wanted to quick cover for you. And this Housing Wire article we read was pretty cool, mm-hmm, right? The big thing I think that we wanted to share is just how different the home buyer is now than they were before, right? Because pre-08, I mean, when we were giving bad loans and things were just not great in the real estate space and caused all the problems.
Well, we weren't giving them, Anthony.
Well, I wasn't even working at that point, so that's fair. But yes,
not my problem,
right? We learn from history. We don't repeat it. But either way, lots of people with bad credit scores taking out loans. The big thing you could see over the pandemic was there a lot of money borrowed? Absolutely. But it was borrowed to people that were 760 plus credit scores was like exponentially larger gap of mm-hmm home buyers than before. So you saw a lot of money borrowed, but you saw a lot of really qualified borrowers.
Yeah. So when you think about whether there's like issues systemically with the market, yeah, and just the sheer number of people with high credit scores really drives this home that there's not that much, you know, at risk. And this shows up in a couple other things. Yeah. Right. So right here, what are we looking at here then, Anthony?
So this one's 30 to 60 day late is that top line. So those are people that missed one or two mortgage payments, right? The 90 day late, that's when we start flirting with foreclosure. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you see that as just like rock bottom levels, right, there's just not hardly any of it. And you see 30 to 60 days slowly bouncing around, but they're really not like dramatically increasing right now as this has been a little bit more tough. You can definitely see just how drastically different today is than it was a decade ago.
Well, and I think too, you know, keep in mind that in 2008, when everything imploded, we did not have the infrastructure developed to be able to rescue people out of these situations as much too, right?
Also really important.
Yeah. So there's never going to be kind of this mass foreclosure wave like we saw because there's a backstop of the federal government on a level that never existed.
Bankruptcies pre, well, this is like 5, 6, you know, 2003, mm-hmm, even. The bankruptcies were insane in this country, well, which you didn't really think about.
Look, yeah, they preceding the massive wave, there was tons of people declaring bankruptcy, a clear like red flag, a canary in the coal mine, yeah, that there was bad times ahead. The bankruptcies were out of control. And now look at where kind of things have headed. And part of it too is, you know, back then is right when Bush, you know, W. Bush did his bankruptcy reform, yep, making it harder to do bankruptcy. So that played a factor into that massive drop that you see in 2006.
Yes, it did.
That's right around like 2005, I think, is when
he passed
that.
Look at those foreclosures above that. Yeah. Oh man, talk about a foreclosure crisis.
Yeah.
Yep. And we just don't see that anymore, right? Yeah, the one year that we really never saw hardly any was in 2021, right? There's a lot of forbearances and everything else going on at that point. So
right, yeah,
basically we kicked the can down the road.
You had to really try hard to get foreclosed on during COVID. I mean,
you could just not pay your mortgage. You still wouldn't get foreclosed on.
So I'm surprised there's even anything on that.
All right. So thanks for joining us for our national update. Don't forget to check out the Colorado and the local state updates that we go through. I'm Anthony at Land Title. You can always reach me at my cell at 303-968-9868.
And I'm Jim Marion, realtor here at Coldwell Banker. You can call me at 303-548-0243 or shoot me an email to jim@ourcoloradohomes.com. Have a great one, everybody.